And I know in my own strength, like Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I know this, that I have to depend upon the power and the strength of another. Amen. And that is the Comforter. That is the Holy Spirit of God.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Monday and welcome, everyone. On Love Never Fails this week, Pastor Bill's series, The Good Book, from the Epistle of Romans continues. And today's study is entitled, Creation, Christian, Comforter. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8. As you know, we're doing an in-depth study in this book. We're having a wonderful time. Remember that chapter 6 through 8 of Romans, we're going to start in verse 17 of chapter 8, but chapters 6, 7, and 8, they're one continuous thought in the Greek there, okay? So there's not really any breaks. And it's teaching us the great doctrine of sanctification, which is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, where he changes us from glory to glory to glory. It's a process into the same image of the Lord. In other words, into Christ-like character. Amen? And that's what we've been studying. Now, we left off about us being the sons and the daughters of God, co-heirs of Christ. Everything that God the Father is going to give Jesus by divine right, Jesus is going to give unto us by divine grace. Amen? Oh, what a day that is going to be. But this morning, I really, on this difficult message that I'm asking the Holy Spirit of God, as I've already prayed through, like I said, Holy Spirit, you be the instructor. I can't teach this morning. This is a difficult text. And I said, fulfill the promise, Holy Spirit, that Jesus spoke. Remember what he said? He said that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. And that is my prayer as I share with you this sermon or this message this morning from God's word. Now, I'm going to talk to you about, from our text, number one, creation, number two, Christians, and number three, the Comforter. And I want to share with you what all three in our text has in common. And what they have in common is a word, well, actually, that I've used all week. You know, some of you gave me that horrible cold. One of you did that. Only God knows. You will be rewarded. Creation, the Christian, the Comforter, we all have something in common. And it's one word. It's called groaning. This is a chapter that's, again, this section is mystical, but it's so deep. I pray that you bear with me, listen through, and that you capture the essence of this truth. Amen? So let's begin. Why don't we begin in verse 17 instead of verse 18, where we left off last time. It says, since children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Jesus, suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together, which is in the future. Now, let's not be this morning, as we start right there, like the majority of believers, and I say this with tenderness, no judgmental heart at all, but the majority of believers, they love that verse that we're co-heirs with Christ. Amen? I love that verse. The problem is they have memorized it right up to the comma, where it says, you know, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, comma, but they stop right there. Let's look at the rest of it one more time. And indeed, if we suffer with Jesus, that's a word that especially the 21st century church today, that we don't care for. And I don't like suffering any more than you do. But here, when we look at this, you know, the thing is, this suffering is necessitated or comes about by our relationship with Jesus, our Lord. And in other words, we suffer with him, meaning we do so for the sake of Christ. It could be persecution. It could be being hated. It could be all these things because we're believers. Are you following me? Now, look at verse 18. And listen to what Paul says, the Paul who was shipwrecked and all the other things that he went through, stone, left for dead. Look what he says in Romans 8:18. He says, Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present moment, this present time, now watch this, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in whom? In us, the sons and the daughters of God, the children of God, this glory that's going to be coming. Listen, we live in a present evil age. Amen? The Bible says for us to redeem our time because the days are evil. The Bible tells us that we live in the darkness of this age, meaning the darkness of the demonic warfare that we go through. Now, in this present moment, now 2,000 years later, speaking about us, we certainly don't desire to suffer. We don't like people to hate us. We don't like to be persecuted for his name's sake, but we should rejoice if we are. Now, but the thing is that if you are a true believer, we who know the truth of God's word can look at suffering totally different than the world. And the reason is that because we have the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have a totally different mindset because our minds have been renewed to the Word of God. Amen? So we can look at whatever we're going through in life. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's pain-free. But I am saying that we can do what the Bible says because Paul said when he was going through the suffering, he said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction. Listen, I've had a cold all week long, and I'm the biggest sissy in the world. And I didn't call it a light affliction. I called it the biblical Old Testament plague almost. You understand? Yes. No, light affliction. And look how long it lasts. It lasts only for a minute, only for a second. There's a time limit on it. And he goes on and he says, and it's working for us. All these things that we go through in this life, they're working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Listen, suffering's present, suffering's tomorrow. Nothing can be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed one day in each and every one of you. Think about that for a moment. God's word is true, a glory that is beyond any kind of description, that nothing can be compared to it. Our affliction, our suffering is indeed short, but our glory is forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? Now, the Bible tells us this in 1 John 3:2. It says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But oh, we know that when he is revealed, when Jesus returns, either at the rapture or whatever, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, when we get to the next verse, verse 19, I want you to really watch this. For the earnest expectation of the what? Creation. All of the trees and the rivers and the stars and the moon and everything in the created realm. Not speaking of us right now, but of creation. For the earnest expectation of the creation, look what it's doing. Eagerly waits for what? The revealing. The revealing of the sons of God. Is that not mystical to you? I read that and I mean, I ponder that over and over and over. And I say, Lord, I know that this is literal. This is not some symbolism. This is true. This is going to happen. Think about it for a moment. Creation, Paul says here, there's an earnest expectation there of the creation. Did you know that's earnest expectation is one word in the Greek language, okay? And what it literally is saying is this, a watching with the head erect and outstretched. Man, they're straining. They're straining to see the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. All creation, can you imagine that? Have you ever walked out to the tree and said, I know you're waiting on me, aren't you? Huh? Think about that for a minute. This is what we're talking about. All of creation, not only that, it eagerly waits. J.B. Phillips, his translation of the Word of God, he put it this way, all creation is standing upon their tiptoes, looking and straining at the sons of God. You know, all of the heavens, why are the heavens, the stars, the moon, the trees, the rivers, the seas, the animals, everything in creation, why are they waiting on you? And what are they waiting for? Well, it says the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. The word revealing means the unveiling, meaning that right now there is a veil over you, Christian. And you know what that veil is? It's this old stinking rotten body that's going to perish. Amen? You follow me? Okay. Now listen, I look at that and I say, oh Lord. You know, revealing means to, that's where we get our book of Revelation from, by the way. It means to unveil something. Like, you know, if you're a dignitary, an artist has made some beautiful statue and they have it covered, and then you pull that off and everybody goes, oh. That's how I do it when I see a Picasso. I go, what is that? Oh, you know? No, but it's not going to be like that. See, we look right now, we look like the world. No, you do. We look just like the world, but we're not of the world. And one day, the whole world, all of creation, now listen, we'll experience this. One day, all of creation, they're right now, they're standing on tiptoe. Their eyes are on you. You ever feel like when you walk by a tree, they're going, I'm looking at you? No? You think, Bill, what are you on? Nothing. No, I'm going, no. Listen, at the second coming in the millennial reign, listen to this scripture, Isaiah 55:12. It says, for you shall go out with joy. Now, speaking to Israel, of course. You'll go out with joy, now listen carefully, and be led out with peace. And there's only one person that can do that to Israel, and that is the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, the second coming in the millennial reign, okay? He's going to lead them out, and listen to what's going to happen. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. I've never had one hill or mountain sing to me, but that's going to happen. Now, not only that, listen, and all the trees of the field, they're going to start clapping their hands. Why? They look at you and they go, oh my, the unveiling has occurred. Now listen, when I read that, I think, oh God, the incredible things that we have in front of us. You know what's wrong with the church? All of us, come on. We think this is all that there is, this world that we live in. This world is passing away. And the lust thereof is passing away. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever. Amen? Now, let's look at verse 20 about creation again. For the creation was subjected to futility. That word means disappointing misery. It means condemned to decay and death and frustration. But it wasn't willingly. In other words, they didn't ask for it. It wasn't their choice, okay? But because of him, meaning God, who subjected it, meaning creation, but he didn't leave them hopeless. He did it with hope for creation. Now, when Adam fell, there he and Eve in the garden, the entire creation, everything, animals, fish, everything, the air, insects, everything because of his sin has been groaning ever since. Why? Because of the curse. Remember what happened when Adam and Eve sinned? What did God tell Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:17? He said, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat all the days of your life. Thorns, thistles it shall bring forth for you. You're going to eat the herb of the field and the sweat of your face. You shall eat bread till you return to the ground. Now listen, there was a time in the Garden of Eden when everything was perfect. Nothing was groaning. Creation was different than anything we can even imagine, okay? But then Adam sinned. And here was the problem. God had given Adam dominion over everything, correct? He was the ruler, if you will, of Eden, the ruler of the earth. And man, listen, he failed big time. He blew it. And you know, it says thorns and thistles are going to come up, that curse. I wonder if immediately after they sinned, God said that, I wonder if immediately thorns and thistles and mosquitoes or whatever started just, no, think of it, come on, just started appearing in everything. You see, because of Adam's sin, all of nature, everything in the created order changed. Think about that. Because of the curse, it all started falling apart. I mean, take a snake. In the garden, would a snake come up and strike you? No. A bee, would a bee sting you? No, but they'll do it today. Why? The curse. Do you understand? You know, you start thinking about all those things. Have you ever been like sitting outside or maybe walking in the park at night by yourself, you know, where there's all these kind of trees? And I don't advise you to walk in the park at night now. But do you understand? And all of a sudden, it's dark and you're trying to get home, you know, and everything. And I remember one time when I was a little boy on my bicycle, I would ride my bicycle all the way from Keller to Fort Worth, okay, because I wanted to visit my grandmother. And I was only like 8 years old. And that's 15, 20 miles. But it didn't bother me because I was the Hulk. You understand? And so, man, I would get at night and I would go through these areas and the wind would start howling and blowing. And, you know, when you're 8 years old, you're afraid. I still have the same nightlight in my bedroom that I had when I was eight, you know? And why am I telling you this? Because the noise that the wind made when it went through the trees, it was a moaning. You've heard it. It was where you're going, this is scary. Am I right? Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. That's not supposed to happen. That's because of the curse. That's why those things are happening. I remember one night, my sister who raised me, you know, I was a teenager, there I was. We didn't have air conditioning in the house and just, you know, a fan or something. And the windows were up and it was summer. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, I heard a scream, a blood-curdling scream. I ran into my sister and I said, we need to call the police. I said, there's a woman being murdered outside in the property because we live in the country. And I thought, they're over in the woods killing a woman or whatever. And she said, Billy, shut up. The tenderness of my sister. You know? And she said, that is a peacock screaming. Have you ever heard a peacock? They sound like a woman, don't they? You guys are not with me, are you? They're not supposed to scream like that. They scream like that because of the curse. Get to verse 21. I got to get out of this. Watch this out. Because the creation, here we are still there, itself also will be set free, will also be delivered from what? From the bondage of corruption, meaning the ongoing death, the curse, the decay that it has experienced since the Garden of Eden. And look what's going to happen. Into the glorious liberty, this is speaking of us now, the glorious liberty of the children of God. The moment that we're liberated from this flesh, the law of sin no longer operating and the evil that is present with us. And we're the spirit of life, thank God, is in us right now, that law that keeps us from that. Amen? But no, he says, this is going to happen. And I said, oh, Lord, this is incredible. But when does this groaning end? And when is creation going to be delivered? And when is the curse going to be removed? Well, whenever the curse is removed and we are revealed, then all of creation, the birds, the trees, the owls, the sky, the stars, the curse is gone, decay is gone, corruption is gone. We're going to see trees like we've never seen trees. Are you following me? It's going to be different than you can ever, ever, ever imagine. And then the question would be, when does this happen? Does it happen during or after the millennial reign of Christ? Now, the millennial reign of Christ is at the second coming, when Jesus returns to the earth and sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And as you know, if the rapture, we're raptured out before that, and then we come back with the Lord. Now, does it happen during the millennial, all these issues, or does it happen after the millennial reign? Well, the reason I say that is because during the 1,000-year reign of Christ after the second coming, it says this is going to be happening in Isaiah 65, 25. Listen to this one. It says, now the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. We've never seen that. It says, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food, and they shall not hurt, they will not destroy on all of my holy mountains, saith the Lord. Now, is the curse lifted? We know that during the millennial reign, the earth becomes like Eden. Amen? Okay, so there's a restoration that goes on. However, when we think of these natural enemies becoming companions, a predator who was seeking to prey, and all of a sudden they're hanging out together, that's pretty wild. Now, with all that being said, the Holy Word of God promises something else. It causes a complete cosmic transformation, if you will. In other words, a sinless universe. So let me give you a few scriptures. Revelation 21, 1. John writes, I saw a new earth and a new heaven, for the first heaven and the first earth, they passed away. They were gone. Now, when did the first earth and the first heaven pass away? It happens after the millennial reign, after the great white throne judgment, okay, after the devil is thrown again into, or he's released from the pit to deceive the nations once more, and then he's put in hell forever and ever and ever, and then the eternal state begins in Revelation chapter 21, and everything becomes new. Are you following me? Is that when it occurs? I feel that it's, but I'm not positive, and neither is anyone else. So you have two different views there. But I do know this, that at the great white throne judgment, remember when Jesus sits upon that throne and the dead are brought up small, great, and ever out of Hades to be judged. That's the great white throne judgment. We won't have a part of that, amen? It says that heaven and earth fled from the face of him who sat upon the throne. So obviously something is going on there. And not only that, it was predicted in Isaiah in the Old Testament. Let me read it to you. Isaiah 65, 17. It says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth." That word create is a Hebrew word used in Genesis chapter 1 when it says, "In the beginning God created." The word is bara, which means he created out of nothing. He just spoke and it was done. So he says, I'm going to create a brand new heavens and a brand new earth. And it says, and the former things will not be remembered or come to our mind. So it was predicted by Isaiah, but it was also promised by Jesus in Matthew 24, 35, where Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And it was also proclaimed by Peter in 2 Peter 3:10. The heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. He goes on and says in 2 Peter 3:13, nevertheless, we, according to God's promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, meaning a sinless, perfect universe. So is that when it's going to happen? I'm not for sure, but at least we can have both views. Amen? Now look at verse 22. For we know, I hope we know this, Christian, it says, for we know something that the world doesn't know. We know that the whole creation, the whole created order, okay, animals, stars, trees, rivers, seas, everything, look what it does. It what? Groans. It groans and labors. How? Look at this intense labor. With birth pangs together until now. All of creation is groaning. It's groaning right now. We're the only people on the planet, since we have God's word, that knows that creation is groaning right now. And it's groaning, and it's like a woman that is expectant, about to give birth to a child. I've never experienced that, you know. I've been in the room. And you know, that those last few, never mind. There's some pain going on. Do you understand? But the moment that that child comes into the world, the mother, she forgets the pain. Because why? There's been a new birth. There's been a child. In other words, there's joy. Amen? Yes. And then they give them to the dad, and the dad goes, I don't know what to do with it. No. This is what's going on right now. All of creation is in birth pains. I don't know what stage we're in. I don't know what month. We could be in the ninth month. I don't have a clue. But I know that God's word doesn't lie. And all of creation is groaning, and they're pushing, and they're desiring. They want the curse to be broken that they're under. Now listen, you know, when we think right now of all creation and all groaning, you know, and we hear all the birds singing, you know, and we watch Nova and all the channels about the animals, and you know, we watch how lions attack the little deer or whatever and chew them to pieces and think, oh, isn't that lovely? And that's not the way it was supposed to be. And here they are, they're all singing. The birds of the air, you know, listen, I go on my walks early in the morning and now my owls are back, you know, whoo, whoo, you know. You know, I live in a different world, don't I? But it's so wonderful. But see, that's not really how they're going to sound once the curse is lifted. You know, they probably never hooed. Do you understand? Are y'all with me? See, this is really true, man. That's why it's so difficult to teach this. And I'm going, Lord, this is going to be care. Yes, but they're not singing all of them together. You hear all the birds and they're, oh, isn't that lovely, the sound. No, there's a song of bondage. They're not singing like they're going to sing. I mean, listen, You know, have you ever walked by the tree and say, one of these days you're going to be clapping for me, buddy? No, that's going to happen.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time for today, but please join us tomorrow when Pastor Bill will conclude today's message. Thanks for beginning your week with us. My name is Brian Whitaker. Be blessed today, and we'll see you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.